This thing on now.
Were you talking? Is were you talking
Dude,
that whole time?
I just gave like a this is really funny because I just gave like
Inspiring
a fucking
speech.
fire and brimstone. We're doing typhoons. Damn the torpedoes. I don't care about the nerf. We're gonna do whatever we need. We're gonna get some. We're gonna like, whatever thing. I was like leaning back, really proud of myself. Like, damn,
This is like those
that
old
was
silent
fucking
films.
good.
Those
Yeah, and then
old
I
silent
turned it.
films
I
that were
looked in
watched
the
in history.
room. Yeah, like I just gave. I went on the stair, basically like, damn the nerfs, full speed ahead. We're doing the typhoons thing. Like, did you guys get fucking anything?
Nope. It's dead silence.
So I haven't. I as far as everybody here is concerned, I haven't said anything on the fucking fireside.
Correct.
So that means that the directors haven't heard me like saying, guys, fucking tell the Kremlin what I need to. Oh my God, because I was at the start of the fireside that I wasn't giving. I was like, guys, I need this information given to the Kremlin because I've decided to say something on the fireside. Come on, guys, get it to the Kremlin. What the fuck?
The
And I was
Mutani.
wondering, yeah, the Mutani, nobody was responding to me. And then I'm like, all right, well, whatever, guys, I don't care. I'm going to talk about typhoons now and how great the Jeff has been going and how well things are going. And, damn the nerfs, full speed ahead. I don't care if CCP nerfs the mining anomalies. I don't care if the typhoons cost twice as much. We're going to fucking do this. I want to continue to see a typhoon fleet being used every single day. I don't give a shit if it costs too much. I don't care. Like, give it to skirmish commanders. War, sacrilegious. I was talking about how sacrilegious were like beating Munins and actually shifting the meta of EVE Online. I went on this whole like doctrine related fucking tear. And I was so fucking proud of it. I was like, damn, that's good. And I look over to fucking Elysium and I've been muted or just my fucking wow. That's really kind of funny. I'm so dumb sometimes. That's cute.
Well, at least you have your talking points.
Oh yeah, man. You guys missed round one of this, but I guess I'll sort of straighten myself out here, and there we go. Okay, that's funny. Okay, so just to make it excruciatingly clear to the directorate, now that you guys can hear me, and also thank you all for being patient and waiting for me to say something. I don't care whether it comes from somebody who is not in Illuminati. If you got a reach to one of the people in Deck SWAT, who knows what's up? But I would like to be able to tell our line at the end of the fireside to reach out to their Kremlin representatives for information about the thing that Theta came up with. And so I need the Kremlin layer informed because it's a cool thing, but I'm not going to say it on the fireside. But I'm going to tell people to talk to their Kremlin representatives about this thing, but those Kremlin representatives need to like be told what it is that people are going to ask them about. Anyway, here we go. Let's try this again. So the question on everybody's mind after CCP announced the moon nerf or the anomaly nerf, which they didn't announce, they just put in patch notes, and it was like a what a 90, 95% nerf. The question that was asked all throughout our organization was, what is this going to do to the Jeff deployment, or the Jif deployment, or the Yif deployment, or whatever the fuck we're calling it? It doesn't matter. There was fear, there was concern, because obviously, if you can't have enough low-end minerals, what's it going to do to the price of Typhoons? We already know the answer is the price of Typhoons double. One of the reasons why the Jeff deployment is so badass is that I said here, last couple firesides, I want to see a Typhoon fleet getting used by whoever is a skirmish commander that feels like it at least once a day. I don't care whether we win it, whether we lose it. I just want to see our guys out there. And on top of that, in addition to the awesomeness that is our Typhoon fleets, and they've fucking worked amazingly. Like I get basically battle report porn given to me every day because I told the directorate, and I don't do this all the time. Like a lot of times we'll be on SIG and squad deployments, and like occasionally I'll see a battle report for like the big stuff, but I'm like, prove to me that we are letting our skirmish commanders or wannabe skirmish commanders get a chance to get out there and do shit with Typhoons. I want to see a battle report of some kind every single day at least during the Jeff deployment. And what we have seen is a tremendous amount of momentum from that. People fucking love Typhoons. Spoiler alert. And then on top of that, we have this sacrilege doctrine, which we're only really just getting started with. But this sacrilege doctrine, one, it's definitely high speed, low drag, like very high skill cap in terms of the actual skill points you need to get into the sacrileges, but it is kicking ass and taking names. A lot of people amongst our enemies were looking at the whole sacrilege idea and going, oh, well, we'll just use Munins and we'll beat them and da da da. And it turns out that sacrileges basically just devour Munins. And what we're seeing instead is that the whole Fleet Doctrine meta of EVE Online is having to adapt to the fact that these crazy assholes are just going up to the Northwest and throwing typhoons and sacrileges at everything that moves. And that's pretty cool. And then the CCP nerf happened. And obviously, that was incredibly bothersome to me because it is, it's been a while since we had like an org that was really moving with a tremendous amount of momentum, and the level of up on the Goonfleet Expeditionary Force system has just been huge. So that's really cool. And I don't want to stop it just because CCP has suddenly said, sorry, typhoons cost twice as much. We do not have an infinite pile of money, but we have enough money, and I like what I see happening with the typhoons thing enough that I have decided that, you know, we're going to review this on a week-by-week basis. I don't want to get up here and tell you that this is going to go on forever because, you know, if typhoons suddenly cost a billion ISK each, then, you know, there is a limit to everything, and we'll find out something different. But in the near term, I don't give a shit about the nerf. Fuck it. Attack, attack, attack. We're going to continue to use typhoons. We're going to continue to use sacrileges, and we are just going to keep doing this shit and finding hostile fleets to mash our fleets into every goddamn day. And so if you had questions about whether we are going to continue doing the Jeff deployment, the answer is yes. If you had questions about whether we are going to continue to use typhoons, the answer is not just yes, but fuck you, yes. How dare you try to take our typhoons away from us. I don't care if they cost twice as much. We're going to ram them down everybody's throats, and or we're going to have them blow up spectacularly every single goddamn day. So, actually, I guess that kind of came out better the second time. I'll take it.
Mittens,
I'll take
it. Are you talking?
Fuck you. Oh my god. Anyway, yeah, so one of the weird things about this, and I don't know if this is going to happen, guys, but it's sort of like story time with Uncle Mittens here. You know, in the past, we have had doctrines that I consider to be high enthusiasm doctrines, right? Doctrines where, in theory, the spaceship in question is very expensive to lose, but because our guys and girls just love that fucking spaceship, and they love that fucking doctrine, we end up with so many dudes in the right ships at the right time and the right composition that we kind of just crush everything in our path. And the expensive-to-lose ship doesn't really get lost because, guess what, we fucking won, and you don't really lose that many ships when you're in the process of winning. So that's kind of the vibe I get from the Typhoon thing, because people are so enthusiastic about that. And I understand that people, like, a couple weeks ago were probably on the fence about the whole sacrilege idea, right? Like, it's an armor hack, we want to do sacrileges, but can it really stand up to this shit? And what we're finding out in practice on the field is, in the defiance of the conventional wisdom of EVE Online, sacrileges devour Munins. And so if you're excited about Typhoons, I really encourage you guys to take a look at the Sacrilege fleet. It's starting to develop a record of victory. It is freaking our enemies out, not in a like, you know, oh my god, we're going to conquer their territory because we have more than enough stuff, so we don't really need to. But it's kicking their asses, it's devouring their Munins, and if this nerf that CCP has done lasts a really long time, you know, it would be really cool if everybody just gets used to having the skills necessary for a Sacrilege fleet. I understand it's a big ask because it's a very specialized doctrine, but because of the nerfs to the mining anomalies, it is harder to get low end, so T1 stuff is getting more expensive, and I think it would be perfectly cool if we do typhoons, 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 and if CCP makes it such that they cost a billion ISK each, we just go, okay, well, T2 ships don't really require that many minerals anyway, and we've had enough time using the typhoons for everybody to also cross-train into sacrileges, so cool, we'll just throw like 500 sacrileges at any given problem that gets in our way and solve the problem that way. So that's kind of like what my thinking is on the whole Jeff typhoon sacrilege situation, if that makes any sense. And yeah, like if we kick ass and take it with it, CCP will eventually nerf it. But, you know, sometimes CCP nerfs something tomorrow. Sometimes CCP nerfs something 3 years down the line, like we saw with like the T3 cruiser meta for a while there. So, yeah. We're going to do a whole Vegas shout out here thing in a second because we have big news there. And if we can make sure that Hyper Viper is in the channel and has been unmuted by somebody. Hyper Viper, have you already been unmuted? That sounds like a no.
If he's not here, I'll do it.
Let's find out if he's here and try to get him. I've got some other shit to go through. Let me take a look at the comments while I was giving my second. Basically, you guys got to hear the second version of that, you know, fire I was so proud of myself spitting that nobody heard. Hopefully it went over well. But yeah, like my response to the nerfs to the mining anomaly is I don't give a shit if our typhoons cost twice as much. Our newbies are having too much fun. You know, let them eat typhoons. Fuck it. So yeah, the Jeff deployment, it's really fucking fun. People are loving it, and we're going to keep doing it. Okay, so next thing. We actually have a bunch of shit going on here, guys. So the big thing is the Jeff deployment, the Typhoon, the SAC stuff. Let me just check to make sure that the Kremlin has actually been informed of the thing that I wanted them to be informed of. Not yet. We'll get there. Okay, Hyper Viper, have you been unmuted so you can say things?
Okay.
All right. Good. We will get to you in a moment. We have a bit more space business, and then we're going to go to the Vegas news, which is good news. What do I feel is the way to go for industry to remain somewhat green in regards to the current changes? That is a very good question, Shadow Asuna. And the guys in Theta have come up, like, you know, one of the reasons why the Imperium is so successful is not because we are elite players who take ourselves super seriously or any crap like that, but when you take, like, tens of thousands of human beings and you jam them together under one network and one system of essentially knowledge transfer, we have like the biggest brain trust in the history of online gaming that's networked together in one sort of way. So each of us turbo nerds has like our own little unique special skill or things that we get really into. And then when CCP throws a nerf our way, at first, it's like, oh God, what are we going to do? And then usually within 48 to 72 hours, somebody somewhere in the network putting their heads together, working together, has spat out some crazy bullshit that might work or might not work or whatever. And Theta came up with a thing, and that is the thing that I have been continually through this entire fireside. Of course, to be fair, for the most part of the fireside, I was muted because lol. But this is the thing that I am trying to get to be communicated to the fucking Kremlin, because Theta came up with something cool that might help, and I'm not spilling it out on a fucking fireside, but I'm telling everybody, once the Kremlin is informed, where to find what we're doing about it to address the question that was brought up. We'll get there. And also, mad props to the dudes in Theta who like worked up this particular possible solution, because holy shit, dudes, I love it. I love it so much. I'll talk it up on a fireside, but I will not divulge the Delta Squad secret. All right, so I want to talk about something. Actually, so Lucius Uda asks, how will the nerf affect the future of Locust fleets? Which I'm just going to use as a segue. So first of all, we don't know. Like, CCB has a dev blog that says that moon stuff is going to get nerfed. And as usual, it's kind of hard to plan around what they're going to do until we see what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. So they say they're going to nerf some moon stuff in a month, and that will probably impact our Locust fleet operations, but it's hard for us to plan around that. So you'll hear me say things like, we'll burn that bridge when we come to it. So, however, as you guys hopefully remember, or maybe if you missed the fireside last week, we have opened up period basis, i.e. the off-delve colonies are now available for those of you who would like to make a new life there outside of the protection of the super umbrella. Like we said when he announced that the period basis was open for business, outside of the super umbrella, you can make a new life for yourself, but you will expect no support whatsoever. You can go out to the frontier of the off-delve colonies and try to strike it rich. But if you are attacked, expect no defense whatsoever from the state, because the state and the umbrella remains in Delve. So it's open season out there, but if you are a dumbass and get tackled, good luck. You're not getting any official state support. So it's basically, you know, it's the frickin' gold rush in the mid-1800s out there. And part of that is a bunch of cool shit involving, we are now going to open moon rentals in period basis for moons that if they were in Delve, the state would have nationalized. These are things that are outside of the range of our locust fleets. And so we're renting out moons that are just have insane monthly values in period basis. So only the really aggressive corporations and the people that really want to do this, you're not going to have any state support. You can rent these moons, you can strike it rich, or you can die screaming. And Tuzzy, take it away. Tell us about this.
Sorry, eating lunch. To normally, for moons that don't have a refinery on them, you're on your own to go out and probe them down and scan them and see what their ore values are. And for moons that have refineries on them, we list all of those that are available to rent in a spreadsheet that I have linked in an Esmart post. Well, to get to kind of like give the period basis renting a little kick, I grabbed a list of the top 84 moons in period basis based on value that do not have refineries on them. In other words, are completely open to rent. And I made a separate tab in that thread, which is linked above in Elysium, that Google Doc. And you're going to go to the second tab, the period basis open moons. And yeah, there's top 84 moons, the cheapest of which is about 7.3 billion ISK. The top one is about 10.1 billion ISK for the perf rack. The old system, class A, class B, class C thing, and some of those were no longer relevant because it was during a certain time period. That's all gone. Everything is simply now a type 1 or type 2. Type 1 is a moon that does not have a refinery on it. Type 2 is one that does have a refinery on it. So read the policy post, and there's a section for type 1. Like, you know, if I want a type 1, what do I do? Follow those instructions. If I want a type 2, what do I do? Follow those instructions. Should be fairly simple. Just to be clear, these 84 moons and period bases are all type 1s because they do not have a refinery. So if you want one of these, go read the policy post. Go down to type 1, follow the instructions. There you go.
Awesome.
If you have questions, okay, there's a link at the very bottom that you can click on, which takes you to a separate thread that you can ask questions in.
Yes, and as Bard Ghost, on a slightly different topic, or back to what we were talking about a second ago, Bard Ghost, I see, points out that this totally wasn't on Reddit last night. This is not like the biggest fucking secret in the world what we're talking about with the Kremlin thing. Some of you already know exactly what I'm talking about it, but I hope you all understand that there is a big difference from, oh, the Mitanni said something on a fireside, you wouldn't believe this, oh my god. Versus, you know, this is one of the things that we really do love about the Kremlin, is when some really, like, weird shit comes down the pipe from CCP, that we do have the ability, using the Kremlin, which we simply don't have with the Illuminati. Like, Illuminati is just too small, even if it's, like, you know, fucking 40 to 70 people, depending. Like, the Imperium is so vast that we really need, you know, the corp CEOs and the corp directors to be able to help out to deal with situations just like we solved the Drifter thing, just like we dealt with the Blackout thing. So this, too, is a thing. So yeah, there you go. If you don't know what the Kremlin is it's just basically this management layer in the Goonswarm organization. I shouldn't speak for our allies, where corp directors and sub directors and corp CEOs are in. So it's basically just below the alliance level directorate. And they do a shitload of work for us, and we have a meeting every month with the Kremlin, and they were instrumental in developing our Drifter defense during all the Drifter stuff, and there's a lot of shit that we could not do without that layer, which is why I talk about them all the time, because it matters. So high fives all around. Okay, so let's talk about some other stuff. We've talked about the Off-Delve colonies. We've talked about how we are doing typhoons and sacrileges, and we're continuing with the Jeff. Damn the nerfs, full speed ahead. And now I would like to turn over the floor in a moment to Hyper Viper, who is going to be talking about a completely player-run, independent E-Vegas. As you guys are aware, we as an organization love Eve Vegas. We love the girls. We love the drugs. We love the casinos. We love the depravity. And also, there's some spaceship stuff there, too. Like, I mean, what's not to love? You can have spaceship stuff, and you can have Vegas altogether and gorge yourself on some of the most delicious food in the world, the finer things in life. I'll be extra annoying and a pretentious gas bag I'm not quote William Blake, because even I will want to punch myself after that. But Vegas is cool. You should come to Vegas. our parties become more legendary every year. And unfortunately, because of whatever weird shit's going on with CCP, they announced that they're not doing eVegas next year and that they're going to do something in San Diego. And the immediate response from the community was, we're going to get together. Because in practice, the reality is that the crew of people that have been running eVegas for many years now are the groups of volunteers, many of whom are in the Imperium. The volunteers are really the ones that like fucking run eVegas. So we're like, hell, we'll just do it ourselves. So CCP isn't doing it. The Imperium, I put down a marker on the table and say, by God, we're going to have our fucking Vegas this year. I don't care who runs it. We're going to make sure it happens. And I am delighted to report that it's happening, and Hyper Viper is here to talk to us about it. So, dude, Hyper Viper, you have worked some magic. Your team has worked some magic. I don't even know if it's your team or you're just part of the team, but the people responsible for making Vegas happen are going to deliver it to us again, and I am so pumped to hear about it. Hyper Viper, please take it away.
Thanks. Yeah, so I put together a team after, obviously, last eVegas when they announced and got booed for moving to San Diego. I recruited basically the top of the top people in the entire EVE community, volunteers that have been doing this for years. So we really got the cream of the crop to get this planned. And we've been working our butts off nonstop since then to get it going. So we have it. It's going to be a little bit different than what most people are used to. Like Mintani said, it is now player run completely. So we're not going to do big convention sort of thing with lots of presentations, boring stuff. We're getting down to the heart of the matter, which is nerds hanging out with nerds, having a good time. So that's why compared to, you know, CCP, which would charge 200 something bucks tickets right now for the event, which Friday's party slash dinner includes the 4 hours of open drinking for everybody, some nice, neat challenge coins, and some other goodies that we're working on putting on together. I personally went out and scouted a good hotel that has actual a bar that can service, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people and 24 hours. So we have a home base that's going to be over at Bally's Hotel. And it's kind of nice next to the Paris, there's a CVS within walking distance, a bunch of shopping, not the giant maze of the Flamingo. So it's going to be a great time. We're looking forward to everybody. It's going to be October 23rd that weekend. I'm going to put a link in Elysium where all the information is. But yeah, no, it's going to be a great time. We have everybody all across the EVE community will be coming out, and hopefully it'll be a great time, and look forward to having every one of you there.
You're a goddamn hero. For people who weren't there, one of the things that I was delighted to be a part of during the Imperium dinner on Thursday of this most recent Vegas was, you know, we got together a card, and I actually can't take any credit for this. I don't say we got together because other people arranged for a card and a cool stuffed animal and just a bunch of awesome shit. And we also kind of collected a shitload of money, and it was entirely well deserved to honor all of the work that Hyper Viper has done for our community, because it's not just this Vegas thing that he has helped arrange, but, you know, he has helped manage and create things going all the way back to like the German bar where I got spanked in front of everybody by some woman with a paddle, you know, that just crazy shit. It keeps getting better each year, and Hyper Viper is a fucking hero and deserves a lot of credit for that. And I am super pumped about this. I will, like with the Flamingo this year, I will be staying in the designated hotel and leading from the front there. I will not be hiding in the Cosmopolitan like I did when CCB was putting it at the Link. So my ass will be here, and I hope to see as many of you motherfuckers as feel like it to make the pilgrimage to come roll hard with us and see what it's all about if you haven't had a chance to do it yet.
Oh, also, the tower that we're going to be staying at, where we got discounted rooms for, the elevator exit right next to or very nearby the 24-hour bar. So you never have to go very far.
Also, another thing I want to point out here when I'm giving praise to Hyper Viper, and let me find out if it's true or not, because this is about to be fucking like state policy if this is true. Did you end up like securing these rooms yourself?
Yes, I did have to sign a pretty hefty contract for the rooms. It's okay. Not like they give you any kickback or anything. It's just so I can get a decent price.
So let me put this, I'm just going to, again, I will be getting one of these rooms. And a lot of times I know, guys, we do this whole, like, some dudes stay at Planet Hollywood, some people stay at the Cosmo or whatever. But Hyper Viper, in a very real way, is sticking his neck out for us and our community, and also the wider community. But really, he's making sure this happens. He wasn't originally running these events for puppies. He started running events for the Imperium. So it is absolutely necessary that we do not leave the person who has helped make all of these things happen hanging in the wind. If you have a choice, if you're like, hey, I don't know where I want to stay, do what I am going to do and book your rooms through the official system such that Hyper Viper does not get fucked when he is trying to make things awesome for us. So the policy of the state is that is the hotel we are staying in, and that's just what we're going to fucking do. Hyper Viper is there for us. We will be there for him.
Yeah, and it's not like any crazy prices. I think they just calculated if you do over the four, if you end up staying four nights, it comes out about 110 a night. So all things considered, very reasonable, especially for Prime October, which is one of the reasons why I've been pushing to get everything done sooner so we secure those good deals.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. So we need to make sure that we're doing it through, I assume we need to do it through the appropriate link, or can you, how do we make sure that you are getting credit for your work and that it goes into the right block? Do we use the eVegas 2020 website, or what do we do?
Yes, that has a link to it. I'll also put the link in Elysium for the booking. Yeah. And that goes directly to that. So both on the website or that link will get you to where you need to book.
All right, motherfuckers, we're going to Vegas. And if you're worried about the price, remember a classic goon thing that has happened. Also, this is actually a really reasonable fucking price, but you can just double up. We've had goons with like three or four goons in a room. So if you're worried about price, just find other dudes that are worried about price. And like, just, you know, everybody in Vegas is like drunk and high all the time anyway. So you just need a place to crash. And so you guys can work together and get roommates to make sure that everybody can afford to go to Vegas and have fun with their friends. All right, so a couple of final orders of business because I need to scamper off and go to the meta show. Hyper Viper, I would probably like to have you as a guest on the meta show on one of these next couple of weeks to just come on, and we're going to be banging this fucking drum between now and October because I will not rest and sit back and let CCB kill the coolest fucking party the EVE community has ever thrown. So we are going to be banging the EVE Vegas drum and throwing a huge fucking party and doing everything we can to promote it. So yeah, we'll talk to you about that later. Couple of last things. Things are getting interesting in EVE. We need more writers on INN. We are doing a thing where we're sort of seeing who we have, seeing who's interested in stuff, and the game has kind of taken off. The Korean player base appears to be actually sticking around. We learned from the Pearl Abyss quarterly shareholders call that in Q4 2019, EVE was more profitable, and it looks like the game is not actually about to die, no matter how annoying like the red dots might be, how annoying the mining nerf might be, or whatever. It does look like the fundamentals of the game are turning around, and we're also having shitloads of fun on the Jeff deployment, which is cool and good. So now is a great time for people that want to herf blurfs about EVE Online to explore getting paid space bucks to write about their game and bloviate if you feel like it. So there is a INN recruitment. Actually, can somebody link the INN join us page, please, Elysium? Because I need to actually send writers there. Reavera is editor-in-chief. Arindus is one of the editors. Dirk is one of the editors. We've got a whole bunch of really, really cool people working on that. And you get to get space bucks for bloviating about your favorite game if you feel like it. It's not the fucking New Yorker. You can basically write stuff with poor grammar and the editors will unfuck it. That's what they're there for. They're very good at it. So you do not need to be like Oscar fucking Wilde to write about your hobby on Imperium News. And Falarin Mistwarden has linked the INN Join Us page. Thank you very much. And yes, he writes for us, and it's awesome. So one final thing before we go. I don't really have too much time to do too many Q&As. I'll see if I can. I've got to go get set up for the meta show here because we're going to be talking more about all these nerfs and all this other weird shit that's happening in EVE. We did talk about doing a politics show last week on the Fireside. We are still doing that. We have Grath Telkin from PL. We have Dirk McGurk. And we have Big Bill the Boss are on board as like co-hosts with me. But it turns out that if you want to do a podcast or a show about anything, it's actually a lot of work if you want to do it right. So I've made the executive decision to put that off for a week. We're having planning meetings and trying to make it not suck. So it's not going to happen this week, but it probably will happen next week. And I have meetings after the meta show to make sure it does happen. So there you go. For anybody that cares about it, let me take some questions. Let me see what I've got here and scroll back. How is the state seeing the actual PIC emergence on our server? Well, that's a very good question. And that was from Benjamin Kraft. For people that aren't aware, PIBC is basically the Chinese version of the Imperium. They won their equivalent of the Great War on Serenity, and the losers of the Chinese version of the Great War, and I could be mangling this, guys, like I'm not completely 100% on my history of everything that happened in Serenity, but basically the PIBC guys are kind of like us from the Chinese server, and the Fraternity guys are kind of like Band of Brothers from the Chinese server. So they were the losers of FRT were the losers of the Serenity Great War. PIBC were the winners. And we have basically been living with one of the largest groups of PIBC affiliated Chinese players here within Goonswarm for like the last 5 fucking years because the PLA Corp, which is this vast and awesome Chinese member corp of ours in Goonswarm, are part of that crew. And so that sort of extends out to like Ranger Regiment and the various other PIBC Tranquility groups. So it has been kind of funny to see the NC Dot guys sort of siding with FRT and posting all these really shitty racist memes. If the Imperium has an alignment, the Imperium is much more on the PIBC side because PLA is an awesome corp. They're run extremely well. We don't have any of the problems that people have had with like botting or bullshit or anything like that because Silvitney runs a really tight ship. And so we know that, so that's basically where we stand on the whole PIBC FRT thing. Good question. Will the FC Championship be back one day? Possibly. Right now we're doing the GEF thing. I would like to do it, but running tournaments takes a lot of effort, and our FCs are trying to train UFCs by doing the GEF thing. But everybody had a lot of fun with that, and we will probably do that again at some point, but I'm not going to make any promises about when or where. Jinton predicts a deteriorating relationship with Test, and since we're not blue with them anymore, what's your take on this? Do you see the possibility for an insane South War in the far future? Well, if I did, I wouldn't say anything about it. And I did watch that same video that Jinton did, and I think his predictions are pretty on point in general, except for one problem, which is that he couldn't predict all the moon stuff, and the moon anomaly nerf just completely changes the political dynamics of EVE. And also there's all the exactly the previous question about the PIBC versus FRT situation. So at the time that video came out that Jinton did, his predictions, I thought, wow, this guy's pretty good, and he seems to be kind of on point. Fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on your view, the state of the game has radically changed, and really none of those previous ideas apply to where we are now as opposed to where we were like last week. Yeah. Okay, I've really got to go get ready for the meta show. Sorry for making everybody sit there for 15 minutes, but I guess I got to practice my herf speech about the typhoons beforehand. The meta show is coming up next, and we are going to have Dunk Dinkle on, and as well as Caleb. They're going to be coming on and analyzing the impacts of the moon anomaly nerf, the moon nerf and the anomaly nerf, and what's that going to do. So we're going to hear from basically one of the most nonpartisan CSMs. Dunk is like sort of like the space pope. He's just genuinely a good fucking person. And so Brisk and I are going to be interviewing him about what's his perspective and the CSM perspective about all this shit. So the meta show is coming up next in 7 minutes. So I need to set up my green screen. Thank you guys for coming. Typhoons to the front. Vegas, sign up using Hyper Viper's link. Let's make sure our boy is not fucked over by that. Let's be there and party. INN is recruiting, and a new life awaits for you, renting moons in the off-delve colonies. I will see you all here next week, same time for the Fireside. Thank you.